Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.
Hello, beautiful soul. How are you doing? I'm doing okay. Pretty well in some ways, feeling a little unstable in other ways, feeling heartbroken in many ways, and also feeling like I'm doing better than last month. That's something to celebrate. I had the intention, have the intention to be sharing the homeschool diaries weekly. It's a tricky thing to do. Any of these podcasters that we listen to who are able to get shows out on a schedule, I'm realizing how intense that is. It's a job. You know, it's something to dedicate yourself to and to plan in time and have strategy for and commit to, and it becomes kind of a job. And I have this inner desire, sometimes angst and frustration, to speak and get my ideas and thoughts and perspectives out into the world using this platform. And it's hard. It's hard to stay regular. Of course, I'm doing a lot of things. Have, you know, the 3 homeschooled children and other things I'm offering in my community. You know, how to juggle all the things. When I had initially thought of starting the podcast, and even when I was doing my social media, I kind of started posting more regularly when I was raw vegan. And the idea was to share with the world how great I'm doing and how amazing this is and how everybody should do it, and to inspire and motivate people to eat more healthy and to just do it, you know. But there was always this kind of resistance or voice in the back of my mind that felt like that was inauthentic or untrue and not helpful also to people. I think a lot of the world on social media especially is about showing our best life, you know, and inspiring people with what's working well for us and telling people the things that work for us and how we can then like sell it to them, you know. I plan to do that in some way. I would like to have products and services that I can sell to people in order to help them. But I also have a lot of resistance. For example, I see some of these homeschooling Instagram accounts and it looks like they're doing amazing things, especially the Waldorf homeschoolers who are creating the most beautiful art where, yeah, it's just jaw-dropping, soul-inspiring art, which is what I so aspire to. And I find that for me, in the real application in my life, it so does not look like that. And I'm a little bit ashamed even that on my own Instagram feed, that's what it looks like. It's amazing how we can post like little 1 minute bits of our life, or reels that are combination of a few 10 second clips from a week in our life, and make it seem like we've done all these amazing things and not show, and we don't have to show the in between, the struggles, the moments in the afternoons where I crash and I wonder what the hell am I doing, and ask, call Vitaly for motivation and encouragement. I sometimes carry a lot of doubt and a lot of pressure around taking full responsibility for my children's education at the moment. Anyway, you know, there are no other adults involved at this moment. We do have our Friday pod group, and there are three moms who come and join. They're, you know, tending to their own children and helping, and I think that influences my girls. But I think what I'm starting to crave is another adult's influence, and is more help in a way. Managing like the housework and, yeah, just children with the baby, it feels like a lot right now. Feels like a lot. It is getting easier than it was last year. But I always try to tell moms that the second year from one to two is sometimes almost harder than the first year. And that can seem a little bit like daunting, because in the first year you're still recovering from birth, your body's recovering, you have a small baby, you're really not sleeping at night, you know, a newborn will nurse like every 2 hours. But from one to two is like a whole other ballgame. It's like the, you know, if postpartum were a marathon, a marathon is what, 42 kilometers? I would say the first year is like kilometers 1 to 13. I haven't run a marathon. I've run a half marathon. But I'm just saying, it's like the newborn year is 1 to 13. And then the second year is like 13 to 30, you know? And those are the points where you're like, oh my God, is this ever going to end? Like, you're really in the thick of it. And then you get to the last 10 kilometers, which are like year 2 to 3, also has its intensity. And then around 4 years old, 3-4 years old, I've talked about this with other parents, and even Vitaly, is when we feel like there's a big settling. And it's just that the baby requires less energy. That's what it is, right? They require so much energy and attention, really, when they're little. I'm looking over, baby Theo is actually sleeping in my bed as I record, and he has been sleeping better, which is why I have the energy to record tonight. And I actually tried to record this episode a few days ago, and it definitely came out very complainy-y. I feel like I had a bad energy, and I tried to wait to get in kind of the right frame of mind or have the right energy so that I can speak from more clarity and from a place of more perspective and more heart. But I dabble in those worlds that I think we all hit at some moments. And I am incredibly lucky. I have been following what is happening in Palestine, Israel. I have two Palestinian friends. One's a close friend that I follow on social media, and so my heart has been breaking with their hearts, of course, in no way at the same level as what they are experiencing. And, you know, I'm not settled on the matter of, like, Israel, Palestine. It does seem from my perspective that it's like a one-sided thing. There's one side with power and money and international support, and there's another side that is just being forgotten and erased. That's what I'm seeing from my perspective. And my heart breaks for it. My heart breaks for these people. You know, some of these Palestinian immigrants to Canada and to the West have cousins and aunties and other blood family members who are suffering in this war at this moment. It feels wild. I feel like I'm just against war, against violence, against civilians being used for these political games. It makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me ashamed of being human. That's weighing on my heart. And so I am incredibly lucky. And then to be coming on here and kind of complain or talk about the difficulties that I'm living with motherhood, it seems like a wild thing that I cannot do, right? I'm sure some of you are maybe experiencing similar feelings. But there are aspects of motherhood in this culture that are very difficult and that we are not educated and prepared to live through well, I don't think, especially if we're trying to be outside of the system. You know, I think sometimes from my perspective, it seems like it would be so much easier to give the kids to some kind of organization, a daycare or government school, even a private school, and actually have time to work and make money so that there's less financial stress on our family. It seems like that could be easier. But I think that there are other concessions and sacrifices with that life as well. And so none are perfect, but it's something that I kind of want to be talking about more in some way. I'm trying to figure out the words and the approach and the angle to take, but that homeschooling isn't perfect either. Even from things that I kind of see in our own life that I feel like my kids are kind of missing out on in some way. And from my perspective, that other children I'm around, you know, could be missing out on. I feel like on the online world, what I'm seeing is, you know, you have to take your kids out of school. It's better. You know, the government is toxic and horrible and you don't know what they're teaching your kids. And, you know, you have to figure out a way, and anyone can do it if you really want to. And I don't really believe that so much anymore. Just from talking to families and from hearing like real people's stories and experiences and how they've set up their life, it's incredibly difficult to live on one income comfortably, live comfortably on one income in our culture. We have help that we live in my in-law's home. So we have that huge financial stress already taken off of our shoulders. And even then, to be kind of working as entrepreneurs, and my husband is now working a job to pay some of the bills. Even then, affording really good food, that's super important for us. It's super tight. And sometimes I wonder, you know, if I was working, if the kids were in school, we had more money, maybe we'd be able to travel more and maybe that would be good for the kids, or we could afford more activities and that would be good for them. And that it's not always so cut and dry as to what's better for families. I do think that I'm pretty stubborn
and kind of thinking about what is lacking for us and how we can fill that. And Vitaly is also, you know, still, we tried the school, I talked about it. It's still, I guess, an option if we really need it. But it is a relief that even now having the kids home, I don't think, oh, they should be in school. They would be so much better in school. That's not what I'm thinking. It's more that I can see the lacks perhaps in what we're doing and our kids are experiencing here and how to make it better. And I guess I could be more specific as to what that is. I feel like there isn't much of a big like homeschooling community here. There aren't that many kids, not like in the GTA, and many events. So I kind of want to build more of a community. And I heard this quote once, some of you might find this interesting, that if you want to teach your children certain values or morals or a certain culture, really, it's often not enough to only do it as the parent, to be the only one kind of giving this nourishment to their mind and spirit. It also has to be reflected to them by other members in the community. And so we have to find or build or curate a community to reflect the culture back to our children that we want them to be growing, that we want them to be growing up in. And so this is something that I keep in mind. And I think Vitaly and I are ready to kind of expand a bit on in a bigger way and be working with more people consciously, intentionally. We're talking about it. I don't know if that's, you know, this year or next year or in 2 years, but I can feel that brewing. I can feel that what I'm doing is starting to get a little bit too much, that I'm not doing things as well as I would like to be doing them. And I think that delegating and having more of a team will help that. So I'll keep you posted about that. October was a heck of a roller coaster. I really wanted to talk about it here. I think many people experienced some big changes in that eclipse season. I have some friends say they haven't cried so much in their whole lifetime. My grandparents decided to move out of the home they've been living in my whole life. So for like over 35, 36 years, I'm 34. Yeah, I just find that October was wild. I'm curious, how was your October? Of course, sometimes we're untouched by the like astrological events and waves, depending on our karma. But I find for most, there was a really big shakeup. And of course, it's connected to, I think, what's happening in the Middle East. It was kind of like a trigger time for certain karmas to come to the surface and to be played out and purged out. And so for me, what that looked like was releasing a lot of pent-up anger and frustration towards the women in my family, especially my mother and my grandmothers and my aunties. I had so much anger towards them that they weren't helping. And I was also like extremely tired and sleep deprived. It was like 10 days of no sleep, you know, like waking up every hour for half an hour. And in those times, I was saying that like I was just feeling absolutely erased, completely erased. Like my person, my being as like an individual human with desires and wants and a personality and, you know, a need for time alone and space to process things, all of that was like gone. Like I was just a serving my body mother. It's wild to get in that position. And in my family, at least, I'm I have a decent relationship with my mom now. But still there's, you know, there's resentment where I feel like she could be doing more. And I have aunties in Montreal. And, you know, we've kind of lost contact. And I remember them saying how hard it was to have young children. And my grandmother, too, how hard it was. It was like the hardest part of their life to have young children. And when I'm in this challenging time, they're nowhere to be seen or heard of. So I had a lot of anger about that, especially in that time. And I had some friends also going through similar things with like molars, one-year-old molars coming in. Those guys are intense. Holy. It's not every baby screams through the night through them, but all of our babies have. We know that there's like these waves of times when the teeth are coming in where it's like a week or two where you just don't sleep. Baby's up screaming. They're in pain. We found Arnica and Camellia homeopathic remedies were helpful. Sometimes I was even too sleep deprived to like make sure I had the stash and I would forget. We would have a night of hell. But yeah, it's every baby has been pretty similar, and then it passes. It always passes, and it's always new on the other side. And like, I feel like I'm a new person on the other side because my brain becomes mush. I feel like I become completely erased, and then I have to build myself back up again. Our routines, our habits, what matters, what I even want to do, what brings me joy. Like, It's like such a washing machine. That's what I feel like. It's a washing machine of motherhood, and you come up for air and then you're going back down again. So you kind of try to, you build yourself up, you kind of figure out, okay, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. This is my thing for me. This is my self-care. And then you're back in for another load, another wash, and you come out of it 2 weeks later and you're like, wait, what? What did I want to do? What was important to me then? I don't even remember. And that's kind of where I feel like I'm at right now. Energetically, emotionally, I'm feeling pretty good and clear. But I feel like I'm lacking a little bit of direction. A little bit of like, okay, where do I go now? I think too, as an entrepreneur who has like a few different projects and someone who wants to serve the community, and I'm quite the creative, I think. Although I, you know, grew up doing math and physics and studied engineering in university. I had a boyfriend tell me that too once, like, you're an artist. And so I think with these creative types, we kind of have different projects and we want our soul to be alive in whatever we're working on. And so that means that we're going to, you know, change things around a little bit more. Maybe not everyone. We can still have our soul alive with maybe one direction. A friend and I were talking about that. You know, she was saying how it seems like not all mothers get erased and completely transformed and broken down and built back up by motherhood. You know, why is that? And we were talking about how women who know what they're going back to after they have a baby, they have like a, you know, a career or an office, or, you know, they have the baby and a year later they put the baby in daycare and they keep going and they get back into the life that they left before having the baby, and not much changes except for sick days and, you know, some sleepless nights and things like that. But they don't like have to reshape themselves and find new identity because they can go back to that. And I think that makes a really big difference. Some women say that, you know, if you're kind of drugged in birth and pregnancy with like an epidural birth, then you're like less transformed. I don't know about that. I think that we all get our transformations from different places. And I like to think sometimes of an astrology chart. as to like where the moon would be or what the fourth house looks like, motherhood or the house of children, and that everyone has challenging moments in their lives that transform them. And for some women, it won't necessarily be their mothering experience. But for me, it has been. And it hasn't always been fun. That's another thing, you know. I love my mother self. I love my children. They teach me so much and they fill my heart with joy. And it's a lot. It's a lot. And especially trying to step out of the culture and the way things have always been done and the systems that I believe are falling apart and no longer in integrity. It's really intense. As humans, we are not designed for this. We are designed to be living in much closer community with women working together and helping each other, and many women. It's incredible how one child, even this baby, he needs me. He needs an adult on him all the time that he's awake. Not so to make sure that he doesn't kill himself and jump off the sofa or climb up a chair and then fall off and bonk his head or swallow something or choke on something. It is wild. And of course, he is worse than my girls were in that sense. He is a lot busier and more physical, but he needs an adult on him. Or what's the other solution? The other solution is that he's in a perfectly safe space, and then we can get, you know, four other little people like him and have one adult for all of those little people. But he's with the girls and we're mixing everybody up, and I'm with these kids, 40 hours a week, and it's a lot, and it's not what I'm biologically designed for. I find that helpful to remember, and from the perspective of quantum healing and the soul, my soul chose to come in at a time like this to be doing this work, and I think to bring some changes. As I mentioned, I saw a past life of mine where I was a Native American medicine woman who lived in community. And so I feel like in my bones, I have this remembering, this knowing of how humans can be and how humans can work together and how we can raise our children and how we can really help. You know, the aunties and the grandmas and the women who don't have children or who never had children, and the men and everyone involved in some way in taking care of the younger generation, and also the elderly as well, that it's just a lot more integrated rather than separated and segregated with these different systems that are now so big that they're actually, you know, spending a lot of energy on protecting themselves. So in this time of anger, I had anger towards dog walkers. I wanted to write a poem about people who get dogs to fulfill their emotional needs when they could really just be helping mothers with children who are at home. And then I realized, well, there might not be too many of us because there aren't that many homeschoolers around here. But I feel like it would be emotionally fulfilling for people, you know, retired women, to be helping us. Vitaly's walking in. Do you want to join my podcast?
What are you recording?
I'm talking about my moment of anger and frustration in October, where I was angry at everyone. Not you, actually, because I decided that I would never not be angry at you anymore.
Forever and ever?
Pretty much.
Pinky swear?
Pinky swear. So then I was more angry at my mom and my grandma and my aunties.
28 minutes in. I think I should leave. You finish this one.
Okay. And you'll come back?
Yeah, call me.
Okay.
Don't edit this.
I won't. I'm under strict instructions not to edit. So yes, I was angry at the dog walkers. I was angry at my grandma. That kind of broke my heart as to how angry I was at her. And yeah, as I mentioned, they were planning to leave their house of 35 years in that time. And I also spoke to my aunt, and she said that they're renovating a house in Maine and they were traveling. And then this thing with my grandparents moving. People have a lot going on in their lives. And so I had anger that these people had kind of forgotten me. But they have like a lot going on. And sometimes I reach out and I realize, wow, they have a lot. So maybe even more than I do have going on. I don't know. I think, you know, having young children is a special kind of thing. But still, people have lives. And it makes me think, this is something that I kind of keep in mind now, is like, how can I always have space in my life to help? And to be reaching out always. I'm kind of in like the most intense time right now. I guess there might be more times, but still to keep space to help and reach out. We build these busy lives. We buy new homes or new cottages or new pets. You know, we travel and all these things and we get busy, but are we keeping space to help in some way? I think that, and not just to help, I mean, I guess there's different ways to help, but to reach out and to emotionally connect, and to share wisdom. You know, everyone has a lot more wisdom to share than they think, from the heart. So that's something I think about, like when I turn 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, my grandparents, my grandfather's 91, how do I keep space to help and reach out and pass the wisdom on? There's always someone kind of walking back behind us on the journey that we have walked, that we can reach out to and help. And not in a paid way, you know, but just to help. Just to help more. It's something I want to teach the children and live by myself. One of the 15 commitments of conscious leadership is being the solution. So rather than complaining about problems, being the solution. It's kind of like, give me the, what is it? What's that saying? Grant me the patience to accept the things I cannot change and the strength to change the things I can, or something like that. You know, it's a bit along those lines. But one thing that was interesting with this anger was that I really felt it. I like allowed myself to go there. I allowed myself to be really angry and think the thoughts. I didn't lash out at anyone or kind of like, you know, I just feel like I fully digested it and really felt that whole anger with every inch of my body and every cell in my body, and tried to, you know, use it so that I could remember to help, especially my daughters when they're going through this, or my daughter-in-law, or other women as best I can. And then I got my period. I got my first bleed postpartum almost 2 years after my last bleed before getting pregnant, and about, what, 14, 15 months after birth, which is actually the earliest I have ever gotten it back. And it felt like such a release. Oh my goodness, it felt like such a release. And on the other side of it now, I do feel kind of more clear and, yeah, like a new version of me. I'm just realizing that now. It's something I've said about getting your bleed postpartum. I feel like it's stepping into womanhood again. It's one of the last like physical stages of completion of bringing a new human into the world. You know, after the conception, the pregnancy, the birth, and the whole early postpartum rigmarole. And then the first bleed. And then the last thing that I would consider is weaning the baby. It's like a very physical experience, something that happens through the body. And it was a very heavy bleed. I feel like I probably bled like a cup of blood. I was definitely quite bloated right before. It was healthy, beautiful blood. I wasn't sure because I had a weird kind of postpartum longer term bleeding after Theo. But it was healthy. And the first like hour that I had it, I felt so much energy. I was celebrating because I just felt like plugged, like this pressure and this holding and this buildup for a few months before the release. And I felt great. And then it hit me. Oh my God, I'm on my period. I need to lie down and rest. And I kind of did that for 2-3 days. There was one day that was really nice. I felt like I just needed to lie down physically. I needed to be lying down and motionless. But mentally and emotionally, I felt very clear and like I could take on all the problems in the world. And so I brought the kids in my room and I laid down in bed and I was just, wasn't on my phone, wasn't reading a book, just kind of like staring and present. And the kids were in my room. They started to play. They were trying on my clothes. They were playing with Theo. We were like that for, I think, 3 or 4 hours. I think we might have watched something at some point. But most of the time, they were just playing in my room, and I was just lying down, enjoying it all. There are many times where I do not have the energy to be locked in a small space with my children. But that day, that second day of my bleed, that's all I wanted to do. I put on a black sweater, laid down, and just enjoyed them. It was a really nice moment. I hope I remember it. I'm trying to think of anything else that I wanted to share. Oh, I did do a QHHT. I had another session with my friend that I'm exchanging with. And I have some developments on the lifetime that is regarding my father. I think I mentioned that in a previous episode, that I had started to try to see my connection to him on my own. And it's been interesting to do this, to kind of explore it on my own and then go deeper with someone in a session. But before going to a quote unquote past life story of some kind, my higher self showed me a scene where I was just with my children in the living room. And I've had some moments of feeling, like I was talking about with homeschooling, a little bit of pressure and anxiety and stress about like how our days are going, how our rhythm is, how my elder daughter is not, you know, maybe doing as much academic stuff as she should be doing, and feeling a bit stressed about it all. And especially when you're trying to live up to like Waldorf curriculum, it puts things like a whole other level. It's not just about workbook. It's about knitting and sewing and music playing and beautiful artwork and, you know, language, arts and math. And I'm so not there. We're not there. I'm not doing it. We're doing parts of it. We're doing small parts of it. We're doing what we can. But I have been feeling quite a bit of pressure around it. I also feel like my 5-year-old is just playing a lot with her big sister, and we need to get more one-on-one time together, which we did get today. My eldest went to go play there. They've got this barn thing, these animals paper animals and barns that they're making. That is incredible what they've created. They have this whole game with their friends. And she went off by herself to go and create and work on her barn. And my middle one asked to play with me. And we actually played and had a great time together. Theo was just busy puttering around us. And we played with the groovy dolls. These are dolls from my childhood, from like 30 years ago, 25 years ago. And the girls call them groovy dolls. We had a wonderful, really wonderful afternoon together. I want to make sure to write it down in a journal. But I've been generally feeling this pressure. And in my QHHT, I saw myself playing with the children and just absolutely enjoying it and fully relaxed in my body. It's very interesting what our higher self will show to us. But just relaxed and enjoying the kids, just enjoying them, just enjoying being together. And the message was kind of like that I need to be doing more of that. And also just to show it to me so that I can remember what that feels like, because I have been carrying the stress for a while. And since having that scene, it's like given me permission to relax and enjoy more. So it's been wonderful. I slept really great that night. And then the next scene was going to see the past life I've been having kind of visions of when I want to connect to it, of a life in Israel, Palestine, and those lands, where it was a woman, it was like a kind of a short, plump woman. I haven't seen a past life of someone being like more plump like that. They've all been like very fit people. But she was like plump and happy and sexy and voluptuous. Not a big person, a smaller person. And I could see this man in the corner of the room. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Don't make this too long for you guys. And the story wasn't clear right away. It's definitely helpful when my friend Lena was asking me questions, and it kind of allows the information to come in through for the question. But what ended the story that I ended up seeing was that this man that she was married to, they were Jewish. He was like a very serious person. And in that scene that I kept kind of going back to, he seemed angry or upset or disappointed. And basically he was disappointed because they didn't have children. Like they weren't having children. It wasn't working. And he was like kind of angry and dark about it. She didn't seem dark about it at all. This woman, she was quite content about it. And when I connected, like to find out why, I heard that it was because she knew he would not be a good father. And so she didn't want to be having any children with him. He wouldn't be a good father. And she was making sure that she was not getting pregnant. So I think she was using cotton root. And she was very content. I was wondering, like, why is she so happy? This man seems kind of awful to be married to. But then she asked the question, how does this woman spend most of her day? And she spends most of her day kind of with the people in the community, helping other women and learning. So she was kind of sneaking in with the Essenes. So I have been obsessed with the Essenes. Not the modern day Essenes, because I know there are modern day groups, but more channelings and also historical writings about the Essenes. So for example, I'm very interested in the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Gnostic Scrolls that have been found, like the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Philip and Thomas, which is interesting that I have, my one aunt has two sons named Philip and Thomas, and their Gospels written by, I don't know if it's by them or it's their Gospels that were found in Egypt. And there's other scrolls about the Essenes, I think, that were found at the Qumran location. I'm not too much into the scientific, as you can see. For me, it's more like the story and the feel that I get from these people. What I believe after, you know, the research and readings that I've done is that they were the communities that prepared the arrival and welcomed, Jesus onto the earth. They were like his family. They were his community. And they were Jews that had kind of stepped out of Judaism and had started creating their own culture a little bit. They believed more in equality of men and women. And were learning from many different cultures. They were traveling to India and learning from the yogis, and traveling to France and Britain, learning from the Druids and Celts up there, through Egypt and through Greece. And they were, you know, sharing the scrolls and transcribing scrolls. And I'm super fascinated. I can share more about, you know, some of the things I've learned about them if you guys are interested, or some different resources. Because since I've discovered them, I guess nine years ago now, I've been reading everything I can get my hands on and rereading books. So, and I had always wondered if I had had a past life as an Essene. When I first connected with this woman, I didn't think that she had been in a scene, that she had like wanted to be, or she knew of them, but she kind of had to be Jewish and was stuck in this marriage. But she didn't really feel stuck or frustrated. She had a lot of the people I connect back to in my past lives anyway, are very connected and grounded to God and Source, and don't have much frustration about their circumstances, maybe except for the Native American woman. And she would go see the Essenes, and she could learn from them. And the husband kind of like knew about what she was doing, but he was busy with his own work, and he was very obsessed with like his political power and his status. And so having children was part of having a better status in the society. And so he knew he had this woman who was kind of running around, but he didn't have too much time to worry about her. He more wanted the children and to be able to pass on something, I guess. And she knew how to make sure that wouldn't happen. And so she also, at one point I saw that she had a lover who was an Essene man. And they were, you know, doing some kind of tantric practices together that we didn't go into too much detail, but I'm interested to see if I can find out more about that. And after that husband died, she went to go live with the Essenes and help them raise the children, and was, yeah, taking care of the children in those communities. So I really enjoyed connecting with her. She was like fun and sexy and super full of Venus energy. Yeah, really love her. And the message around this man, this father, was that so in that lifetime, he like was not destined to be a father, I guess. And that she was still kind of, because she was married to him, she had a strong karma with him. So she was working on him and praying for him and loving him. It was basically part of like her Essene philosophy, was still to kind of help his soul in any way that she could. And she was also helping herself, right? She wasn't like suffering in this position. And that... So then there was the question, like, why is he the way he is, especially in this lifetime, that he's cut off me and my sisters, three out of four of his children, from his life. And I saw that, well, he was a slave in Egypt, a Jewish slave in Egypt, who desperately wanted material goods and respect and some kind of status, because he had been so badly mistreated as a slave. And so it's become this like obsession for him. And that in this lifetime, it's already better than it was in that previous lifetime. And I don't know, he probably has had lifetimes in between. but that there's the opportunity to kind of go to the next step and to surrender and open his heart a little bit more in this lifetime. And he hasn't yet taken it. It's like a big step for him and he's scared. And also my higher self said to not stop praying for him and working on him, because everything is worth valuable and worth it. And I've been feeling this already, that I would like never give up, you know, because in this lifetime, something could change or it could be useful for the next lifetime. I think when you have perspective of many lifetimes, it gives a bit more space to things like this, that you think, okay, if it doesn't happen now, then it might make a difference the next time. And the message too was that his DNA coding is being passed down through our children. And so the state of his soul is important to our children, because he's part of the lineage and we're part of his lineage. And so for our own children's sake and the continuation of this bloodline, it's important also to pray for him. And I found that interesting. Yeah, I found that comforting. And now just thinking back to the session, I'm already feeling like calm and collected. Being in that state of QHHT is like a 2-hour boost meditation. It's quantum, you know, it's like quantum leaps. And I don't have much time to meditate right now. I am thinking I would like to develop a bit of a morning, like spiritual routine and habit of some kind. We'll see how I can fit that in. Like I said, I'll probably get a few nights of poor sleep and then completely forget that I even wanted this. It's wild. Any kind of, yeah, self-care routine, it kind of goes out the window with babies' sleeping habits and rhythms and changes. But we just do our best to slowly get back to good habits and rhythms. Like I told Vitaly, this year is already better than last year. So I think that's all I wanted to put out into the internet ethers. Thank you so much for listening, dear listener. I've had some feedback from people and I truly appreciate it. You cannot know. If you have listened to this point, don't hesitate to shoot me a message on Instagram or by email. The links are below. You can connect with me on Instagram or with Telegram as well. And I will be coming back to you soon. Vitaly and I want to record more episodes together. I want to get him on talking about birth and attending births as a man. And other topics as well. We have some funny things to talk about regarding learning Russian and French and other topics. So if there's anything you enjoyed particularly, let me know so that I can keep doing more of that. And with that, I wish you a most beautiful rest of your day.
Walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.